Blog Talk Radio.
Look only me. Your deceived eyes, seeing only my slavery, aided your own decay. Yes, they condemned me to death. And they condemned you to decay. Your heart whisked away. Consumed in hate, used up in idleness, playing yet the lady's part, estranged to vanity. It is justice to you to say your fear equals their tyranny. You were afraid to nurse your young, lest fallen breasts offend your master's sight. And he should flee to firmer loveliness. And so, you pass them, your children, on to me. Flesh that was your flesh. Blood that was your blood. Drank the sustenance of life from me. And as I gave suck, I knew I nursed my own child's enemy. I could have lied, told you your child was fed till it was dead of hunger, but I could not find the heart to kill orphaned innocence, for as it fed, it smiled and burped and gurgled with content. And as for color, you know difference. Yes, in that first while, I kept your sons and daughters alive. But when they grew strong in blood and bone that was of my milk, you taught them to hate me. You gave them the words mammy and nigger, so that strength that was of myself turned and spat upon me, despoiled my daughters, and killed my sons. You know I speak true, though this is not true for all of you. When I bestirred myself for freedom and brave Harriet led the way, some of you found heart, played a part in aiding my escape. And when you made your push for freedom, my sons fought at your son's side. My husbands and brothers, too, fell in that battle where Crispus Attucks died. It is unfortunate that you acted not in the way of justice, but to preserve the union, and of course for dear sweet pity's sake. Else how came it to be as it is with me today? You hated slavery, yet abhorred equality. I would that the poor among you could have seen through the scheme and joined hands with me. Then we, being the majority, could long ago have rescued our wasted lives. But no, the rich, becoming richer, could be content, while yet the poor had only the pretense and sought through murderous brutality to convince themselves that what was false was true. And so with Ku Klux Klan and fiery cross and blooded appetites set about to prove that what is right, forgetting their poverty. Thus the racist used your skins to perpetuate your slavery. And woe to me, woe to the boy Emmett Till, and woe to you. It is no mistake that your naked bodies on the calendars announce the fatal dates. This is what they plan for you. This is the depravity that would reduce you to death for me, and worse than death for you. What will you do? Will you fight with me? White supremacy is your enemy and mine. So be careful when you talk with me. Remind me not of my slavery. I know it well. But rather, tell me of your own. Remember, you have never known me. You've been seeing me as white supremacy would have me be. But I will be myself, free. Justice, peace, plenty for every man, woman, child who walks this earth. This is my fight. If you will fight with me, then take my hand, that our land may come at last to be a place of peace and human equality. For there is love, there is the serpent, and there is the dove.
And greetings. Welcome to this special edition of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. That, of course, was the great Bea Richards. For those who do not know of her, well, perhaps it is time that you do. She, of course, was very well known during particularly the 1950s, 60s. She was a very well-known actress on stage. And then, of course, in the 70s, 80s, 90s, she was in several movies as well as TV programs or series that came on. She was a feature entity on several television programs. She also is known perhaps more specifically as the mother. She played the role in Sidney Poitier's Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. And there is a film or a documentary that was done about her titled, what you just heard, A Black Woman Speaks. That is, of course, the poem that Bea Richards wrote in 1950. 71 years ago, she wrote that poem. And that was just a part of the poem, but you heard how she talked about white supremacy. You heard how she gave the message to white women. And the call was put out to the Negro women in 1951. In 1951, the call to Negro women was for Black women, women of African descent, to come together. To come together to address the issue of violence and abuse of our women and girls. We're talking about 1951, where you could easily be hung just for looking at somebody white, particularly in the South, and in the North too. But these women put the call out, and the call again was to bring women of African descent together to start focusing on self-defense, et cetera, but also to put out there the various types of terrorism that was placed upon our people. So in 1951, close to 200 women met in Washington, D.C., and they had a conference, and they had forums, and they made a demand. The demand was to meet with the President of the United States, as well as the Justice Department and others. Well, that was 70 years ago. And I'm just going to read to you what one of the official correspondences, it went out around this time. It says, dear Negro sisters everywhere in the United States. Now, remember, the word Negro was the word that was used at that time. It's 1951. We, the initiators of this call, invite Negro women everywhere in our country to join us in this sojourn for truth and justice. In Washington, D.C., September 29th through October the 1st. It goes on to say, ask your church, lodge, trade union, civic or community organization, your family or friends to send you as their spokesman. But come even if you must send yourself. We know it will mean a sacrifice, but that has been our life, a long one of sacrifice, and we can well afford to make this one if we can help end our pain and our misery. Okay, so that family is just part of the call to Negro women. And we will now make the call. And hold on one moment. I need to make a quick call. Hold on. Very shortly, we're going to have Brother Jamal joining us. Of course, he is the grandson of Mumia Abdul-Jamal. And so, hold on one moment. Let me just make sure he just called. He might be having a problem, family. So I need to check on that very quickly. So bear with me, please. Because we do not want to miss that call, because that is a special report on Mumia. So just give me one moment, and then I will complete the information about the call to Black women that we are now making as a part of the commemoration for the 70th year. Okay, that's real strange. And how that is meant to... Okay, something is happening there. Okay, family, somehow we are waiting to hear from Brother Jamal, so somehow we just missed that call. But at any rate, let's see, what do we have here? Oh, I was getting ready to finish a little bit of the letter or the announcement that went out. I'm just going to complete a little more of that, and then we're going to try to get back to Brother Jamal. So it says, in Washington, we will come together to plan the full program of the Sojourn for Truth and Justice, elect our committees, and visit the president, the state and justice departments, the senators, and congressmen to demand action now on our grievances. Now, again, who knew? How many people really knew about this? Well, I can tell you, a lot of folks that I talk to, well, I can tell you. Hold on one moment. Very few have known about this event or gathering that happened. 1951. The call to Negro women. Now, let me just share with you who some of these women were. Okay, let's see. Would you believe? Shirley Graham Du Bois. How about the name Eslander Robeson, Paul Robeson's wife? Of course, Shirley Graham Du Bois' wife is, or was, W.E.B. Du Bois' wife. How about, of course, again, Bea Richards, also known as Beulah Richardson, but also Shalada Bass, who actually was the first Black woman to own her own publishing company, etc. These are some of the women that came together in 1951. And needless to say, Queen Mother Moore was another one. So, again, family, this is just some of the history that many of us have no idea about, but we are going to now make certain that people do know about it. We're going to reenact this history. We'll reenact this action, rather, and we are now putting the call out to Black women. The call going out to Black women to meet with us in Washington, D.C. It will happen actually the same time that it happened in 1951. And we will then have forums, workshops, but also put the committees together, et cetera, to enact what we call a national campaign for the elimination of violence and abuse of women and girls of African descent. So we will meet beginning September the 29th through October the same time that they met in Washington, D.C. 70 years ago. Now, this is for sisters who are serious. We call them, of course, the Serious Sistars. Serious in S-I-R-I-U-S as well. And again, this is about those who are really ready to take some action unapologetically when it comes to the issue of violence and abuse of our women and girls. The other thing that we're going to bring forward in our meeting, or shall we say in preparation to put out the demand to meet with President Joe Biden, is, of course, oh, by the way, also Vice President Kamala Harris, is, of course, to free our political prisoners. Now, this is Black August. So, of course, we are talking about freeing our political prisoners. That will be one of the other things that we will be bringing to this meeting. And again, we are demanding a meeting with the President of the United States and the Vice President, separate meetings, just as they did 70 years ago. But what makes this so timely is that the issue of reparations must now be made clear. Also, keeping in mind that President Biden and President Harris said very clearly that it was Black women that helped to get them in office, that not just helped, but that they were like, you know, the key in getting them in office. Well, Black women must take a position and now ask, now what? If we help you get in office, what you going to do for us? We must ask that question. But we also must be organized in doing so. We must have a united front of Black women, of African diasporic women. And so the call goes out to those that are serious, those who are not about selling us out, those who don't want to just run around and try to get a grant or some corporate sponsoring, but who know and understand that the issue of justice is far beyond what any of them can ever give us. However, we must fight in every arena in every kind of way. So, for those sisters that are interested, there will be a telephone conference call, a Zoom call, rather, next week, and we will give you more information about that shortly. But in the meantime, we would like to remind you that we're going to get a report very shortly from Mumia Abu-Jamal's grandson. There is some updates on Mumia that we need to share with you. And we want to also remind you that on Saturday, joining us live will be Jalil Montague. And, of course, he was released last year after serving approximately 49 years as a political prisoner. So we just want to give you that sidebar. Before we go any further, I would open up the lines for you all. If you have a question or a comment about what we now are calling the Sojourners for Truth, Self-Determination, and Justice, That is now a new unit for MWM, and it is specifically geared to deal with the issue of sex trafficking, mass incarceration of our women and girls, all types of violence and abuse, as they did 70 years ago. Now, here's what kind of sparked what happened 70 years ago. As you heard the poem, or part of the poem a little earlier that Bea Richards wrote, the women heard that poem. Soon after she wrote it, she presented it to a group of women at a conference, and it inspired them so much that they knew they had to come together. Now remember, we're talking about 1951. During that time period, white men were known to rape black women and girls routinely. Little would be said, less would be done. And so at some point, you began to hear situations where black women were either killing white men or attempting to kill them as a result of white males attempting to rape them. And there were a few cases that were, in fact, going to trial. One had already gone to trial. Another one was about to go to trial. So these women came together in support of those women going to trial and to raise the issue that right at the peak or beginning, not the peak, but the beginning of the civil rights movement, while a lot of other issues were being talked about and addressed, there was one issue that was not, and that was what was happening to our women and girls. Now, some say this was the beginning of black feminism or whatever you want to call it, and, you know, for that era, it may be. It was also given the communist label because there were a few women who were in the Communist Party. But there were certainly women who were not. The point being, now, 70 years ago, we not only can make our position very clear, we must do so. And so the call to black women makes that position extremely clear. This is not about feminism. As the mother of civilization, we do not have to take on white women's labels, ideas, philosophy, or anything else. We're smart enough to come up with our own stuff, and so we have. And we will now present that accordingly. So again, the call to black women is one that is exclusively, specifically about and for us, period. We're not entertaining anyone else's ideas or philosophies coming from the Eurocentric, that was a Freudian slip, Eurocentric is what I was literally saying, and it's just really enough. But again, any of that mindset that's not welcome in this cadre, in this unit. Yes, we said it and are saying it. So again, this is about no other thing. This has to do with the violence and abuse of our women and girls based on our highly melanated existence. That's what it's about, and that's what we're getting ready to address. Since no one else will, we must. Since obviously this has been an issue for at least 70 years of concern, well, the buck stops here. So again, we're going to open up the phone lines for you, family. If you have a question or a comment, we certainly would welcome you to bring it in, and you can press 1 now. And after that, we will give you some information on how you can join the Sojourners for Truth, Determination, and Justice. Remember, the group from 1970 was the Sojourners for Truth and Justice. Well, ours add on one component, and it is self-determination. So again, if you have a question, comment, thought, please press 1 now. We would love to hear what you might have to share with us. In the meantime, I'm going to try to track down Brother Jamal real quick because I think we might have had some problems calling in. And if you don't, it doesn't seem like anybody has a comment. Okay, that's fine. So what I will do is go back to Bea Richards and let you hear a little more of The Black Woman Speaks.
It is right that I, a woman black, should speak of white womanhood. My husband, my father, my brothers, my sons, die for it. Because of it, and their blood, killed in electric chairs, stopped by hangman's noose, cooked by lynch mob's fire, spilled by white supremacists' mad desire to kill for profit, gives me that right. I would that I could speak of white womanhood as it will and should be, when it stands tall in full equality. But then, womanhood will be womanhood, void of color and of class, and all necessity for my speaking thus will be passed, gladly passed. But now, since it is deemed a thing apart, supreme, I must, in searching honesty, report how it seems to me. White womanhood stands in bloodied skirt and in slavery, reaching out adulterous hands, killing mine and crushing me. What then is this superior thing that in order to be sustained must needs feed upon my flesh? How came this horror to be? Let's look to history. They said, the white supremacists said, that you were better than me, that your fair brow should never know the sweat of slavery. They lied. White womanhood, too, is enslaved. The difference is degree. They brought me here in chains. They brought you here, willing slaves to man. You, shiploads of women, each filled with hope that she might win with ruby lip and saucy curl and bright and flashing eye, him to wife who had the largest tender. Remember. And they sold you here even as they sold me. My sisters, there is no room for mockery. If they counted my teeth, they did appraise your thigh, sold you to the highest bidder, the same as I. And you did not fight for your right to choose whom you would wed, but for whatever bartered price that was the legal tender. You were sold to a stranger's bed in a stranger land. Remember, and you did not fight, mind you, I speak not mockingly, but I fought for freedom. I'm fighting now for our unity. We are women, all, and what wrongs you murders me and eventually marks your grave. So we share a mutual death at the hand of tyranny. They trapped me with a chain, the gun. They trapped you with lying tongue. For lest you see that fault, that villainy, that robbed you of name, voice, and authority, that murderous greed that wasted you and me, he, the white supremacist, fixed your minds with poisonous thought. White skin is supreme. And therewith brought that monstrous change, exiling you to things. Changed all that nature had in you wrought of gentle usefulness. Abolishing your spring, tore out your heart Set your good apart from all that you could say, think, feel, know to be right. And you did not bite, but set your minds fast on my slavery, the better to endure your own. 'Tis true, my pearls were beads of sweat, wrung from weary body's pains. Instead of rings upon my hands, I wore swollen, bursting veins. My ornaments were the whiplash scar. My diamond, perhaps a tear. Instead of paint and powder, on my face I wore a solid mask of fear to see my blood so spilled. And you, women, seeing, spoke no protest, but cuddled down in your pink slavery. And thought somehow my wasted blood confirmed your superiority. Because your necklace was of gold, you did not notice that it throttled speech. Because diamond rings bedecked your hands, you did not regret their dictated idleness. Nor could you see the platinum bracelets which graced your wrists were chains, binding you fast to economic slavery. And though you claimed your husband's name, still could not command his fidelity. You bore him sons. I bore him sons. No, not willingly. He purchased you. He raped me. I fought. But you fought neither for yourselves nor me. Sat trapped in your superiority and spoke no reproach. Consoled your outrage with an added brooch. Oh, God, how great is a woman's fear who for a stone, a cold, cold stone, would not defend honor, love, nor dignity. You bore the shaming mockery of your marriage and heaped your hate on me, a woman too, a slave more so. And when your husband disowned his seed that was my son and sold him apart from me, you felt avenged. Understand, I was not your enemy in this. I was not the source of your distress. I was your friend. I fought, but you would not help me fight, thinking you helped only me. Your deceived eyes, seeing only my slavery, aided your own decay. Yes, they condemned me to death. And they condemned you to decay. Your heart whisked away, consumed in hate, used up in idleness, playing yet the lady's part, estranged to vanity. It is justice to you to say your fear equaled their tyranny. You were afraid to nurse your young, lest fallen breasts offend your master's sight, and he should flee to firmer loveliness. And so, you pass them, your children, on to me. Flesh that was your flesh, blood that was your blood, drank the sustenance of life from me.
All right, that again was in fact the great Bea Richards, the poem that inspired black women to go to Washington, D.C., to demand a meeting with the President of the United States and others. And so they did. in 1951. The date exactly, September 29th through October the 2nd, approximately 150 or so black women did in fact meet to begin to organize and plan to take action. Unfortunately, like many things, the group was infiltrated and ultimately disbanded after about 2 years. And so that particular struggle kind of, you know, as it is, kind of got pushed to the side. Well, there's a reason why we are now becoming aware of this happening. And again, I've spoken with historians, scholars, activists, and asking, did you know about this? And 95% of them had no idea that this had happened, that these women came together, that these women literally went before the White House to make that announcement and did meet with, not the president, the president wouldn't meet with them, by the way, it was Harry Truman, but they did meet with other government officials. Now, we are researching this and you know, coming up with bits and pieces of information. Some of it is filed at the Smithsonian. Even some of the film footage of one of the sessions that they held is actually archived at the Smithsonian. So we are slowly but surely gathering up this information. But what has also helped us to know is that we as women of African descent in North America must establish our own historical society. We must have our own history capabilities or capabilities to document, disseminate, archive our own history. So this year for the Million Women March 24, we will be putting that in place to have our own Black women, African women, historical preservation components, so that in our cities, in our state, and throughout the U.S., we are able to get not only direct access, but have accurate information, historical, the contributions, the legacies of our women and girls. But let's go back to the call to Negro Women, 1951. I'm going to read some more from the document that was disseminated as part of the call. And it says, the time has come for us Negro women of the United States to personally address this government for absolute, immediate, and unconditional redress of grievances. We cannot, must not, and will no longer in sight of God or man sit by and watch our lives destroyed by an unreasonable and unreasoning hate that meters out to us every kind of death it is possible for a human being to die. We die of poverty, loneliness, drudgery, and disease. We have watched our husbands and fathers burned, quartered, hung, and electrocuted by hooded and unhooded mobs. We have seen our brothers beaten, shot, and stomped to death by police. And when our greatest fighter for civil rights dares to challenge the injustices, he is cursed, reviled, and indicted by the highest legislative body in the land. We have seen our sons rotting in prison. We see them poured into foreign wars in defense of this government, which denies them equality on the battlefield and at home. And when the greatest mind we have produced dare speaks out for peace, he is handcuffed and indicted as a foreign agent. We have seen our daughters raped and degraded. And when one dare rises in defense of her honor, she is jailed for life. There is no state in the whole of the 48 in which we can eat live, work, play, rest, or breathe free of segregation and discrimination. And when the greatest voice we have produced their sings out against these indignities, passports is recalled and denied the property right to earn a living. Now, of course, that is applicable to the great Paul Robeson, okay, and others. So that gives you a general idea of what these women wrote in 1951, family. So wouldn't you think that after 70 years we'd be doing a little more than what you're seeing right now? I certainly think so. We know so. And so, again, the call to Black women. If you're interested in becoming a member, now is the time to do so. You can email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. And we will certainly forward that information to you. Or you can text 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. This is a very significant and important move that Black women will now make. African descendant women of the diaspora that are in the United States. This will be historic to begin to deal with some things straight up, no chaser, as they say, in such a way that has never been done before. And so we invite any of our women that are truly interested. Over these years, I've seen a lot of talk. But when it comes down to really getting into the nitty-gritty of it, people are falling short. And this is why there's no real representation for Black women on the grassroots level that is not connected to the corporations until now. This is the lines drawn in the sand that we talked about a few years ago. And now we're going to see who is who for real. As we have been seeing, as we said 4 years ago, 2020 was going to be revealing. Well, it certainly has been. And now we are seeing who is really who. Now we're going to see even further. So family, again, unfortunately, Brother Jamal, if you are in queue, I'm not seeing you. You need to press 1. Other than that, I think you might be having some problems getting in. I'm not sure what's going on, but we are having some difficulties with connecting with him. So we may have to bring him in on our regular program for Saturday, family. We do have an update on Mumia. The only thing I could tell you right now is that Mumia is, again, pretty ill. He passed out during a recent visit. And again, you know, I'd rather get the direct information, you know, from the family. Sister Pam Africa, you know, is kind of taking a little off period right now. And so family members are, you know, facilitating some of the discussion or some of the reports. So Brother Jamal, I spoke with him earlier today, and he agreed to come on tonight, but then when he tried to call in, something happened. Brother Jamal, of course, is the grandson of Mumia Abu-Jamal. But this Saturday, hopefully, we'll be able to get that report from him or someone else from the family. And again, this Saturday, we will also have with us live our Brother Jaleel Montague. And we will also have an update on Iman Jamil Alameen, as well as Dr. Natula Shakur for our Black August segment for Saturday, August the 7th. Our regular time, of course, 10:30 p.m. and Eastern time, that is. And certainly we will also give you more information about our call to Black women. The sessions that we will hold in Washington, D.C. will be primarily closed sessions. So again, if you are not a member or registered with MWM in some kind of way, shape, fashion, or form, You will not be able to attend this particular session. There will be other sessions. But this is for serious sisters right now. We put a lot of time in a lot of generalization. We cannot do that at this particular time, or we will not do that at this particular time. So, again, those who wish to be involved in a very proactive kind of operation, you are welcome to do so. And, again, this is for any of our women and girls who want to now seriously do the kinds of research, the kinds of other things that is necessary for us to get not only the type of justice that is mandatory in this day and age, but that just, you know, has to represent in a certain kind of way. These issues that we are talking about has nothing to do with anything other than the violation of our women and girls based on the fact that we're Black or African or highly melanated, whichever adjective you wish, you get the point. There's no other agenda here. And our families and communities. And we have five areas that we wish to talk with President Biden and Kamala Harris, Vice President Kamala Harris, about. And again, don't get me wrong, we're not hallucinating. But we are doing due diligence. We're doing what we're supposed to do. If they say no, they say no. If they say yes, they say yes. But it will be on record that we made the effort to do everything possible. And we will now see what their responses is going to be. Since they said Black women were very significant, played a very significant role in them getting in office, then it has to be, now what? We have to ask that question. And it has to be a group of Black women that are not about kissing their behinds. And it has to be about coming from a group of Black women who have a history of making history, as these women did in 1951. So, with that said, family, this has been a special edition of New Day. We're going to close this session out. We can tell you now that it is time to hold people accountable in our communities and those sisters who are ready to be organized in a manner to do that. The call is now for you. Step up, or as they say, folks need to step off. Okay. This is the real deal now. So again, if you want more information, please feel free to contact us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, national spelled out, nationalmwm@aol.com. Or you can text us at area code 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. We will meet in Washington, D.C., September 29th through October the 2nd. Those meetings will be strategy sessions as well as operational meetings that will determine some other very serious actions that will be proposed. Again, there will be a few sessions that will be open to our sisters, the general masses, the general public, as you might call it, but the majority of the sessions for members and affiliates only. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. We'll be more than happy to send you additional information. All right, that's it. Again, we'll bring that special report on Saturday in regards to Mumia and some other things. And, of course, the Recharge Genocide 21. Last assembly, our first one, is coming up September 4th in New York. This is phase one, and this will get us ready again for the second mass assembly, which will be in Washington, D.C. next year. We trust peace, reparatory justice now. With that said, family, we're going to close this session out. If you're in Philly, we invite you to join us on August the 17th. It's going to be our first RBG Flag Day. Also, our Black Authors Speak Out and Teach In. Also, our salute to the Honorable Marcus Garvey and the UNIA ACL here in Philadelphia. Starting, we will assemble at 5:30 at the Paul Robeson House located at 50th and Walnut Street. From there, we'll walk over to 52nd Street, straight down 52nd Street to Malcolm X Park, 52nd and Pine. There will be a roughly two-hour program there with poetry, speakers, and, of course, information about the Recharge Genocide Campaign, et cetera. All right, family, we're going to close this session out. We thank you for tuning in, and we will be returning on Saturday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time, same location. And until then, we say from Moses to the Shenandoah, together we shall win. Peace out.